Exodus chapter 12, and I might say also I was glad to see my youngest sister come in. And one time when she came in when I was preaching here, I said that, and she thanked me afterwards because our oldest sister always referred to her as her baby sister. And but she is my youngest sister. And but Exodus chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep from among the goats, or from among the goats, and shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts, and on the upper post, doorpost of the house, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unto unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not the raw or sodden at all with water, and roast with fire his head and his legs, and with the pureness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth it shall of it until the morning shall be burned with fire. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token unto the houses wherein ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Our subject we're going to draw from verse 13, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." We understand that the Old Testament is pictures and types of the fulfillment of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And this statement, "When I see the blood, I shall pass over you," and the fulfillment that Jesus had dying on the cross and shedding his blood for us, we can say, "When I see the blood, I will pass over thee." We want to draw some comparisons from this 12th chapter of the book of Exodus to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing we want to note as we look back in verses 3 and 4 here, as the commandment was given to them for their lambs, it says, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, They shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make you count for the lamb. But this lamb had to be a particular lamb. Couldn't be any lamb. Had to be a lamb of the first year, and had to be a lamb without spot or blemish. A perfect lamb as could be. And we know from what Isaiah tells us in chapter 53 and verse 6, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was without spot. He was without blemish. And we'll speak more on that in a moment. But it had to be a young lamb, or also it says, or of the goats. A perfect lamb. Now, I've never raised any lambs. We raised different types of animals on the little piece of land we grew up on. And we made pets out of some of them. Remember one time my dad bought a couple hogs, little piglets in the spring, and we made a pet out of Sally. And when it come time to butcher in the fall, we didn't want Sally to be butchered. So my dad said, okay, we'll keep Sally and we'll breed her. Well, when Sally come in heat, and Brother Art probably remembers this, she broke out and we chased her all around our place and through Art's woods and everything, and ended up, she had to be butchered anyway because she got injured and the vet said, you know, you got to do that. But lambs. And, you know, the lambs, they're led to slaughter. And from what I understand, they don't put up a fuss. They just led to slaughter. And when we look, consider that, and you know, in the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't put up any fight. He was silent. And he laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. I mean, they didn't kill him, even though they nailed him to the cross. And he suffered more as a human being with the scourging and the crown of thorns that was put into his brow and the beard being plucked from him. He put up with more torture than any of us could even begin to suffer. But when he had suffered and taken the drink of that vinegar and cried out with a loud voice, "It's finished," he gave up the ghost. But he was the lamb. It's already been pointed out this morning. He was the lamb. He was the perfect lamb. As we seen in verse 29 of John chapter 1 this morning. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he was the lamb. And as Brother Gordon preached Tuesday evening from Genesis 22, when Isaac asked his father, "Here's the fire and here's the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "Son, God will provide himself with a lamb." God will provide himself. And we see here this picture in Exodus. And God is preparing to deliver Israel from the bondage of Egypt. They were to take a lamb of the first year without spot and without blemish. And they were to sacrifice that lamb. And what was they to do? They were to apply the blood upon the doorpost and the upper doorpost to provide a covering that when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The Lamb, as we see in verse 5, had to be a perfect Lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or of the goats. A perfect lamb of the first year. A male. It couldn't be just any lamb out there. It had to be a specific type of lamb. A perfect lamb. A lamb of the male, of the first year, without spot, without blemish. And there was specific instructions how to slay that lamb and what to do with its blood and how to roast it and how to consume it. And, you know, when we look at the latter part of, like, verses 12 and 13. You know, anybody in Egypt that would have complied to the instructions that Moses gave them and the blood was on their door and he seen the blood, he would have passed over them. Of course, the Egyptians didn't do that. And we see the answer in that also because they served many gods. And the Passover here was mocking the Egyptians' gods. Did the Egyptians cease to worship their gods when Israel was gone? Absolutely not. But this lamb, the lamb could absolutely have no blemishes upon it. And we look in Leviticus for a moment. First chapter 1, and then we'll look in chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 1. And verse 3 says, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer of it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. It was of his own flock voluntarily. A sacrifice without blemish. In chapter 22 of the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 22 and beginning in verse 19, says, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves, of the sheep, or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be accepted for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering of the beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. This, again, these sacrifices, they were types. They were pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he was perfect. He was without blemish. He was the only sacrifice that the Father would accept. In 1 Peter, in chapter 2, first of all, in 1 Peter, chapter 2, Exodus chapter 1 is what I want. Verses 18 and 19. It says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus Christ, He was a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, in this world, what He's talking about is that Jesus was without sin. He was pure in every way. And as we read through the Gospels, we understand that not one jot or one tittle of the law was broken by the Lord Jesus Christ. When He was nailed to that cross within Himself, there was not one spot or one blemish. And then you say, well, why did He suffer on the cross? Now, we're not talking about at the hands of men. We're talking about the hands of God, because He became sin for us. When God the Father looked upon Him as He was nailed to that cross, our sin debt was within His body. Yet He was the perfect sacrifice, without spot, without blemish, just as Israel's lamb that was prepared for that first Passover, without spot and without blemish, but with the precious blood of Christ. Precious blood, without price. You cannot put a price on the blood of Christ. It's beyond any value that this world could put upon it, without, because it was perfect blood. And I believe it was divine blood, without spot, without blemish. The blood of the Lamb must be applied by the Jews as Moses was given instructions by God. Back in chapter 12 and verse 7, He says, "And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it." In other words, in the house that they shall eat it, upon their door, their house. And as we see the Lamb being slain, as they entered into that house, they was to put the blood on each doorpost and the upper doorpost before they entered into that house. The blood had to be applied. Applied as God said it was. And verse 22 of this 12th chapter, we have the instructions how they was to apply it. It says, "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that it is in, that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of the house until the morning." Excuse me. So we see, they were to take hyssop. You say, well, what's hyssop? Hyssop was a little bush. And the branches had like little, looked like a brush. They was to dip it in there. You could use it like a paintbrush and apply it to each side post and over the top of the door, and they were to enter in. And as we see here, they were not to leave the house until the next morning. They were safe under the blood that was applied to that house, to the door of that house. They were safe. But they must remain in that house. Now, I worked with an individual one time who said, well, that shows you that you can be saved and lost again. I said, no, it don't. It's not what he's saying. The blood, they had to remain under the blood. They're in the house where they was to eat it. The blood was applied. And when he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. The blood had to be applied for the death angel to pass over. You know, as you go to the prior plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians, every one of those plagues mocked one of the Egyptian gods. And here, this mocked all the gods. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. The blood of Jesus Christ must be applied to a soul. It must. If you don't have the blood of Christ applied, you don't have salvation. Shortly after I surrendered to preach, and that's been over 48 years ago, one of the men I worked with said, this young man just surrendered to preach. And the guy, he's standing there, he says, are you going to be one of them bloody preachers? Yeah. And he goes and walked away and never spoke to me again. Well, that's his problem. If you don't have the blood of Christ applied to your soul, you cannot have salvation. It is pure, it is perfect, and it is the atonement for our souls. In the book of Romans, in chapter 3, in Romans, in chapter 3, in verses, beginning in verse 24, says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. The application of the blood of Christ, as it was applied to those doorposts and above that door, it's applied to our souls. And we don't have to worry about the death angel. The death angel will pass over us. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ has atoned our sins. We're secure. We're safe within the blood of Christ. Just as those Israelites were safe in their homes when that blood was applied to both doorpost and the upper doorpost. But when I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Now when we think about that, what he told the Israelites, when I see the blood, he was referring there to the blood of that lamb. But the blood of Jesus Christ. We think about that. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the blood is applied, I will pass over thee. The blood of Christ. And you might emphasize the. The blood of the Lamb. The flesh of the Lamb must be roasted and eaten. We've seen that in verse, you see that in verse 8. It says, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Roasted. Again, there were specific instructions for that lamb. Specific instructions. The lamb had to be roasted and eaten. Verse 9, he says, eat not of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head and his legs and with the puritans thereof. In other words, as they roasted this lamb, they couldn't contaminate it either. It was, the blood was taken and applied, and they had to roast that blood or that lamb. And as I understand also, there couldn't be one bone of that lamb broken. Not one, it could not be destroyed. It had to be specific on how they sacrificed, how they roasted it, how they consumed it. And we say, well, how does that relate to the Lord Jesus Christ? Look back in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And verses 45 and 46. Says, who then is a faithful, and I'm sorry, I'm in wrong chapter, 27, Matthew 27, verses 45 and 46. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we're not going to turn there, but in Psalm 22, there's an explanation of what was taking place here. The wrath of God was being poured out upon the body of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. Now, when you think of the wrath of God being poured out, it was our hell. And what's going to take place in the lake of fire? The lake of fire is where those who have not the blood of Christ applied are going to spend eternity. They're going to be a flame. They're going to burn. They're never going to be consumed. But in those 3 hours that God the Father turned his back upon the Lord Jesus Christ with our sin debt within him, the wrath of God was poured out, the heat. And Psalms 22 tells us that the heat of that wrath was so intense upon the body of Christ that his very heart melted within his body and ran down into his bowels. He can count every bone in his body. Now, if you've ever had any injuries on any part of your body, you don't always feel all the bones, but you feel all the bones in that particular area. But can you imagine? Every bone in his body, he felt because of the wrath of God that was poured out upon him. The heat of that rats. In, you know, when we observe the Lord's Supper, we picture the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has to be pure. Those elements have to be pure. If there's any leaven in it at all, it does not picture the pure body of Christ and the pure blood of Christ. He was sacrificed for me. My sin was paid for by Jesus Christ and pictured here in the book of Exodus in chapter 12. His blood. In verse 13, again he says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token unto the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." When I see the blood. Now there's some other interesting statements with this. We look back to verse 11. And he says, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." You know, it wasn't just that they was to go into the house and eat the Passover and have the blood applied to their doorpost. But they was to have their staff in their hands, their shoes on their feet, and ready to go. Are you ready to go? If you have the blood of Christ applied to your soul, you should be ready to go. You should be ready for when the Lord calls, whether it be in physical death in this life or when the trump sounds. Ready to go. For he says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, and I am the Lord." You know, as you study this 12th chapter, the Egyptians, after the death of the firstborn, they wanted to get rid of the Israelites. And they gave them gifts. And as you think of when they were in the wilderness and they got ready to build a tabernacle according to what God had given instructions, where do you think they got all the gold and the silver and the precious materials? The Egyptians gave them to them to get rid of them. You know, this world don't like us. And they would give us anything to get out of their way. But God's going to come and call us home. Why? Because of the precious blood of Christ. "When I see the blood, I will pass over thee." Those were the words of Jesus. This night, I'm going to pass over the nation of Egypt from the king, from Pharaoh, to the beast of the field. The firstborn is going to die. And what does that tell us? It doesn't make any difference who you are, what you are. You can be the most important person individual in this world, or you could be the lowest individual on this earth. And if the blood's not applied, death is coming your way. We're not talking about physical death. We're talking about eternal death. And it's not just a temporary thing. Eternal death is eternal. It'll never end. You'll never be able to satisfy the wrath of God for your sin record. And there's one of the reasons is once they get to the lake of fire, they're going to continue to sin. They're going to continue to murmur. They're going to continue to curse. And they're not just going to curse God and those who preach the gospel to them, but they're going to rile on one another. 14th chapter of the book of Isaiah. They're going to look at Satan and they're going to charge him. But sin will never cease. They'll never pay. So when we look at the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, when he shed his blood, he didn't spill his blood, he shed his blood. When we look at that, in 3 hours, for every one of us, he paid the entire sin debt. And it's kind of mind-boggling in a way where somebody goes and ends up in the lake of fire and they never get their debt paid. Ours was paid. Paid in full. We'll never be charged again with those sins. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Looking back in Hebrews chapter 9, in Hebrews chapter 9, and first of all, verse 14. Says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? We're given a question there. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. How much more valuable? Now, Paul had made some examples of these sacrifices, just like we've just read here in chapter 12. How much more valuable is the blood of Christ compared to all those sacrifices? You know, all those sacrifices throughout the book of Leviticus, they all were pictures and types of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in his sacrifice. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If the blood of Christ has been applied to your soul, you need to serve the living God. In verse 22, he says, almost all things are by the law purged with sin, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the blood of Christ, you have no forgiveness of sins. With the blood of Christ, they've been purged. And purging indicates purified, cleansed, clean. Our souls today, because of the blood of Christ, are clean before Almighty God. Never will any of our sins be charged against us again because of the blood of Christ. Brother Rowan.